Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Well, it's Minnesota Monday, isn't it now? I gotta get myself through the week somehow. I had a ball Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but it's all over now, and it's Minnesota Monday.
Woohoo! The groan directly after.
I mean,
some of these songs you like more than others.
It's just early. Yeah, I'm just tired.
I swear, I have like a Pavlovian response. Anytime anyone says the word Monday, I yawn.
Nowadays, I look forward to Monday. I'm living for the Monday.
Oh,
I'm
not living for the weekend. I'm living for the Monday. You're living that Broadway schedule.
Yeah. Except Broadway gets Sunday night off, but then they work Tuesday. I work Sunday night, but I get Tuesday off. But every Sunday night, I'm so excited to just get to sleep in the next day.
Yeah.
So, Garfield be damned. I love me a Monday. Shoot. You've never spoken about your time at the Eras Tour, really.
Oh, my God. Thank you for asking. Let me talk about my time at the Eras Tour. So, have you been to the MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey?
No, I have not. In Matt Rutherford, New Jersey? No, I haven't.
In Matt Rutherford, New Jersey. It's certainly like a liminal space. It's pretty spooky. We went with my sister and my brother-in-law. So 4 of us. We were like, let's take an Uber from 42nd Street to the mall, grab something, and, get in line for merch like at 2 p.m. We got in line. My sister and my brother-in-law went to the mall to grab Taco Bell and Starbucks so we could eat them in line. We stood in line until 7 p.m. And I don't know if you've ever seen me in direct sunshine. You have. I'm not a happy camper. So it was an artist named Gail. We missed her entire set. And then, I don't know if you know this, I am such a huge fan of Phoebe Bridgers. We got into the building like during her like third song, I think, like maybe like 10 songs, like during her third song, but we were all the way up and all the way back. So we had to like walk up 3 flights of stairs and also walk, I swear to God, like a mile through this stadium. And I don't know if you've ever seen me under pressure in a crowd, you have, was a monster. I was like sobbing because I love Phoebe Bridgers so much and it was so frustrating to me. I had gotten here so early and I was missing like one of my favorite artists of all. I was so stressed. And then we finally got there. I heard like 2 of my favorite songs. I'm standing there sobbing. My sister comes over because we're sitting in 2 separate areas, her and my brother-in-law and Caden and I. And she comes over and she tries to like, she's like, do you want like a beer or something? And I just ignore her. Because I'm like, I'm watching Phoebe Bridgers right now. And I'm just sobbing watching Phoebe Bridgers. And it's actually like, even the 2 songs that I heard of hers, I was very grateful to see. But the concert was like so amazing. I was like sobbing the entire time. She's such an amazing performer. And then like we saw the world premiere of the new music video. And that was so cool. Jack Antonoff was there, played one of Caden's favorite Taylor Swift song ever, is Getaway Car, and they played that song. It felt so nice to like act like a kid and scream and like giggle and jump up and down. It just like was so cathartic and awesome to do that. You know what? I have a big rag rat. If I could do it over again, I wouldn't get in that line. And I would trade more friendship bracelets. I spent days making friendship bracelets. I traded 1 friendship bracelet. It was because someone else came up to Caden and I. And I was like, before I got there, I was like, I hope I'm not too shy. I was way too shy. And I also, like, I don't know. I was just so, so overwhelmed with the entire experience. I didn't even think about it. And I was like, frick, I would have loved to do that.
I didn't know that was a thing until literally last night.
Really?
I saw some post on Reddit about Taylor Swift friendship bracelets. Just like,
I'll give you one.
People just make bracelets that are Taylor Swift themed and then you give them to each other at the concert.
Do you want to see a few that I made?
Yeah.
This one says, you'll love this one. It says, look at your face. You're gorgeous. You love that song. I have a typo on this one. It says, remember this moment. And I didn't say
that's the last one.
Remember this moment.
Remember this moment.
This one says, it's in the lesbian pride flag colors. It says, let's go, bitch. So if you want one of those, I'll give it to you.
Honestly.
Because I didn't trade with anyone.
I want a remember this moment. That's my front runner. Remember this moment. Hello, everyone. My name is Ian. I do not have any Taylor Swift friendship bracelets, tragically. But I do have the spirit of a mini gleek because I am a mini gleek.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Lena Knatzer. And I have so many Taylor Swift friendship bracelets because I'm too damn shy. And I also have the spirit of a mini clique. Seriously, I was like, ah. I even thought about it. Like, people were just like trading them in line. And I was like, ah. I couldn't do it. But I also have the spirit of a mini clique.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And no one can take that away from you.
Yeah, seriously. I'm holding on to that to my, like, to my deathbed. You can't take my spirit away.
You're not trading that away.
No way.
And we're here to talk about Hurt Locker Part 2, specifically your thoughts on the Hurt Locker Part 2.
Let's kick things off with Emmy, shall we? What do you think?
We shall. Hi, Ian and Lena. I just had to write in and tell you that, and I am 100% not kidding right now. The reason I watched Glee for the first time was because I was a huge fan of The Flash, and I found out that Grant Gustin guest starred in Season 3. I laughed out loud when I heard your bit about that in the episode and absolutely had to tell you. I only have one other small thought to share from this episode, and that was when you mentioned how the montage of Sue getting rejected from all these famous films doesn't make any sense. I have a headcanon for this. I've always interpreted this montage to be that Sue is so absolutely delusional that she genuinely thinks she was a runner-up for these roles, when in actuality she probably never got a callback or even auditioned. It reminds me very much of the whole Michael Bolton situation, where she insists he's the father of her child, when in actuality, mini spoilers here, we find out in a future episode that it is not true. She has many times referenced knowing or hooking up with famous people before, and I always just interpreted that as Sue truly living in her own little world of absolute ridiculous delusion. So that's how I personally always interpreted that montage as well. I hope that makes sense. Thank you guys for covering these episodes. I have been anxiously awaiting the Hurt Locker episodes since day one. These episodes are some of my favorites, and your podcast episodes put me in such a good mood. I spent the whole day thinking it was Friday, and the weekend was tomorrow. It's fully Wednesday. Thank you both for your Glee service. Consensual hugs and kisses. Emmy, they, them.
Emmy, A, I love this take. And honestly, this makes a lot of sense. And I think this way now, so thank you for sharing this, and I agree. I like it.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of evidence that Sue just lives in her own fantasy. I don't know why that montage does not hit for me, because a lot of people it does hit for. So clearly, like, it's just a personal taste thing for me. It's not a bad montage, but this does make me like it more.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, there's so much evidence in this show of Sue just like saying things about herself that absolutely could not be true.
Like, this is what her brain looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she's not only a liar, but she is a full delusionist who believes her own lies and that they happened. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it works for this montage.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that you and Billy the Puppet have something in common, Emmy. Big Grant Gustin heads.
Yeah, literally twins. I love that. Ooh. Also, I love that you loved The Flash and then found Glee through that. I think that's everything to me. I love that.
It's so funny to me because I literally always think of The Flash and Supergirl as the shows with that kid from Glee.
Yes, me
and
too.
And so to like reverse engineer that, that people like come to Glee being like, oh, it's the show that has Supergirl and the Flash in it, is so funny to me.
Yeah, totally. I love that. It's almost like every once in a while, I'm like, I learn that people can like, I'm not going to say that. I don't know how to say it in a funny way. I was going to say like, come from different walks of life as me. Like, you know, we can all like come to the same spot, but like maybe we got there in a different way. But sometimes
we can all get to Glee. Different walks of life. And that's called harmony. That's called tolerance. That's called love and acceptance.
It was going to sound way deeper than I meant to Glee it.
Through their own path.
That's why I wasn't going to say it. But I know, but sometimes I do, like, you know, I am reminded that we, you know, all didn't start watching Glee in 2009 in eighth grade because our junior high theater teacher said it was very good. And I mostly just needed her approval so bad. So I watched the shows that she was watching.
Only 98% of us had that.
Yeah,
exact
only
set of
a few of us. Yeah.
But the other 2%.
Hey, could be the Flash. Different could be experiences. Anything. We all come from different walks of life.
When I was watching Glee with Alex, the first time that Jesse St. James appeared, Alex was like, oh, that guy's on this show? Wasn't he in Hamilton? And I straight up was like, you know Jonathan Groff as King George, and you didn't watch Hamilton going, that's Jesse St. James? Like, it was so shocking to me.
Literally.
I was like, where have you been? And I was like, you saw Frozen being like, who's the guy playing Kristoff?
You
like,
didn't say that's Jesse St. James playing, literally.
This is how he is known outside of just the Broadway community.
And this is one of those moments I'm reminded that we all come from different walks of life.
We all come from different walks of life. Absolutely.
Oh my God. Oh. Emmy, thank you so much for this message. I genuinely appreciate it. Next, we've got a message from Nisha.
Dear Ian and LPC, I'm Nisha Sheher, and I've been listening to the podcast since season one, but this is my first time writing in. The Hurt Locker Part 2 has a special place in my heart, since it features my number one top Spotify song of 2022. That's right, you guessed it, the Glee cover of Father Figure. It is literally the most random song in the Glee discography. I really can't explain why I have such a hyper fixation on it. Maybe because of Roderick's raspy voice that makes me ascend to another dimension. Maybe because the montage of Sue sobbing over all the Republican candidates losing makes me cackle every time. Anyway, I just wanted to write in and say how much this podcast means to me. I'm a closeted Gleek amongst my friends. Not so happy pride. And this podcast feels like I can finally be a part of a community that is as insane as I am about this train wreck of a show. On the first day of sixth grade, my history teacher asked us to make a collage of our interests / things we did that summer to get to know us better. While my other classmates had pictures of them on vacation and them playing soccer with their friends, mine was solely comprised of pictures and headshots of Diana Agron. Many years later, I now understand that my little 11-year-old brain could not compute the feelings I felt for Miss Lucy Q. Fabray. Be who you are. But I just die laughing when I think about how I literally handed that in as my first assignment of middle school. Also, I want to let you both know that I started watching Survivor because y'all recommended it way back. And when I tell you I am obsessed, I've binged 13 seasons in the last 2 months. Please send help. In the mini episode where we predicted how each Glee Club member would do in Survivor, we were literally on the exact same wavelength for every single character. Though personally, I think Blaine would beat Quinn at Final Tribal Council. I would die of happiness if you turn this into a Survivor podcast once Glee is over. One episode on each Survivor season, that's 44 episodes right there. So sorry for the long email and consensual forehead kisses. If you choose to accept them, Nisha, she, her. Nisha, the turning in
headshots
of Diana Agron.
That's so me coded, you have no idea.
To be what you're interested in. That's so funny. There is something about the preteen years that are so special in bringing the most embarrassing stories possible.
Yeah.
It's like Gal, you're just starting to scratch the surface of like adult emotions and adult thoughts, but you are still trapped in the body of a child and like your brain can't figure out how to make those two things work together. So it's just constant like weird U-turning in headshots of Diana Agron, because you're like, I find this woman so cool and fascinating and I don't know why. So here you go.
Oh my gosh.
It hasn't been one of our most recommended, but we've had a few people say that they would like us to cover Survivor after this. What gives me pause personally about that is there are 10,000 Survivor podcasts out there, and there are 10,000 Survivor podcasts hosted by people who have been on the show multiple times. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, what? Like, I wouldn't listen to our podcast over theirs.
Yeah.
But that being said,
I will talk.
I would
about
always
Survivor.
Love to do. Yeah, I'd always love to do like special episodes on Survivor or like Patreon episodes on Survivor. I just like am hesitant to make our whole podcast about Survivor because I just feel like, they're just gonna go to other pastures.
Are there podcasts about Survivor, about two people trying to get on Survivor through a Glee perspective? Okay.
About two people trying to get on Survivor? Yeah. I don't know. The one I listen to, my go-to Survivor podcast, it's Rob Sesternino from Survivor the Amazon and All Stars, and it's Steven Fishbach from Token Chains and Second Chances.
Hell yeah.
They host it. And then every week they'll have another guest who's a former Survivor player come on and they'll talk to them. That's the one I listen to, and it's a grand old time. I am a psyched out of my mind, Nisha, that you are into Survivor. It is, in my opinion, the best constructed reality competition show on television. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that every season is great, but it has the best construction of any reality show to have the most consistently good seasons.
Some of those seasons are so bad.
No, there are some absolutely dreadful seasons.
I watched Survivor One World. And I was like, it can't be that bad. And I was like, this is an all-girls alliance that makes it to the end. I really go honk shoo, honk shoo, honk shoo. Like, what the freaking
Survivor One World is dreadful because it's either boring or when it's not boring, it's awful. In like the people are so mean to each other and not fun reality TV mean. Mm-mm. Like real world horrible person mean.
Absolutely. Like, the way that, like, they bully each other and the way they talk about each other is just so awful. And, like, the men are dreadfully misogynistic. And honestly, the girls are really misogynistic. Like, not to mention Colton. I can't even talk about him. Yeah. It put me in a Survivor slump. I watched that season. I said, what is the point of this show? It really made me sad.
No, it's not. It's when you listen to people ranking Survivor seasons, that's very often in people's like bottom five out of, you know, the 44 seasons.
Yeah.
I will say something I love about Survivor is the fan base of Survivor is like very surprisingly queer.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently I go on Reddit all the time. I know a lot of people feel some type of way about Reddit, but sorry, I go on Reddit a lot. And I specifically go on the Survivor Reddit a lot, and I go on the Drag Race Reddit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much crossover.
Oh,
and
my
like
gosh,
I will be
yeah.
on the Survivor Reddit, and people will be like referencing Drag Race. And the other day I was on the Drag Race Reddit, and people were talking about the current All-Star season. Mm-hmm. And there's a very clear front runner on this current All-Stars season of Drag Race. And someone said, this season isn't even interesting at this point. It's very much giving Kim from One World. I was like, I am obsessed with the fact that you just said that.
It's very much giving Kim from One World. I have literally, like, I'm usually a little surprised. Like, maybe not surprised, but, like, you know, I really can't. I'm not good at, like, deciphering who's going to be the winner early on. But it, like, it is giving very much Kim from One World. It is, like, if Kim doesn't win, I don't know anything.
Oh my gosh. Have you heard of the show Kim. The Other Two on HBO?
I have, yeah. I really want to watch it. I've never seen it.
I love that show. And one of my complaints with that show is that in the first episode, they're talking about someone they know who watches Survivor. And they say, oh, he watches Survivor? That's so aggressively straight. And I was like, how dare you say that? That's not true.
Every single person I know who watches Survivor is not straight, so.
I know. The most recent winner of Survivor is not straight. But the first ever winner of Survivor is not straight.
Yeah.
But in the most recent season, they had an episode where the guy who said that, he gets invited by his friend to have a Survivor watch party with like a bunch of other gay guys.
Yeah.
And he walks in and they're all watching Survivor and he goes, isn't Survivor like aggressively straight? And then one of them goes, have you ever met a gay person?
Yeah, literally.
And I was like, amen. I'm glad that you rectified that comment that you made. Anyways, since we released that episode where we talked about how everyone would do on Survivor, Lena has gotten far more into Survivor. I think at that point you've seen like one or two seasons.
Yeah.
Now you've seen quite a few seasons.
Yeah, probably like 15 seasons at this point.
What's your favorite season you've seen?
I loved Token Cheens so much.
Stephen Fishbach, baby.
Seriously. And also just like, what's his name that won? I'm really, really so terrible with Survivor names.
Well, that's a spoiler, but
oh, yeah, JT. You're right.
season that came out 15 years ago.
Yeah, he is just like such an amazing person. And like throughout that whole season, one of my favorite things was everyone being like, no, JT is the best person I've ever met in my whole life. Like, I would do anything for this man. And it was just like really beautiful. I just really loved that season so much.
When Brendan is like, seeing JT win would feel like I won.
Yeah. But it does. Like, he's just such a nice guy. And it made, like, one of my least favorite parts of the whole season is the final tribal. When they're, like, being mean to each other. I was like, no, my bros. They're in love. What are other of my favorite seasons? All I can think about is Survivor 44. I swear all my mind thinks about right now is Survivor 44. I just enjoyed that season so much. And not just because it was the last one we watched. And we also, our friends were in that season. But seriously, I just, like, loved them all so much. And it just made me very happy. And the twists and turns in that season really were very riveting. If you'd like to hear it, I wrote up a little blurb about how each of our newbies would do in Survivor. Or at least how I think they would do.
I would love to hear it.
Perfect. I just have our six newbies off the bat. I think Spencer comes in mad hot. And is like, he wins like two challenges in a row. Like, and is like, has a huge head about it, you know, is like annihilating the other team and like really shoves it in their face and also brings that energy back to camp, you know, is like bossing people around about making the shelter, mm-hmm. is like bossing people around about like make like getting water, like kind of becoming the person who's like he thinks running the show. And I think this like the third like week they slip up in a challenge. And they don't win, or, like, they throw the challenge, and he goes home. They're like, we have to get Spencer out. Like, I can't live with him anymore. That's what I think would happen. And not to say that I'd, like, you know, I think he would be very good at Survivor, but I think he would just, like, be so good at challenges that that, like, bleeds into his, like, social game. And I think people would get sick of it. And I think they'd vote him out, like, week three. And then, I think our other people would make it pretty far. Like, I think Kitty and Mason and Madison would quickly form an alliance. Like, mm-hmm. very quickly form an alliance. And I think they'd make it past the merge. And I think Kitty is going to be, like, flirty, but in a way that she'll cut him off and doesn't care. Like, you know, not in a way that she's, like, starting, like, true showmances. But it's, like, you know, kind of giving Parvati, if I may. Like, you know, running the game in her own way and, like, doesn't really care about the boys. So, like, we'll flirt with them. And it's fun. And it's awesome. And it's, like, kind of painted in the edit as the villain, but, like, a fan favorite. Like, people love Kitty. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, she is, like, certainly, like, aligned with a lot of, like, blind sides. Is kind of the one that is, like, you know, in people's faces if altercations ever break out. But, like, is a fan favorite. Everyone loves her. And I think that Mason and Madison, I think Mason is a very good player. I think he's great at those interpersonal relationships. I think people really like Mason. But I think Madison's the same way. I think Mason blindsides Madison. And it's like, says something, like, I think
you
maybe Madison,
sister.
Exactly. And I think Madison maybe like gets a little like maybe big for her britches, or gets a little like paranoid, or like really wants to get someone out who they like really don't want to get out. And then Mason like goes to Kitty and is like, listen, I'd vote her out. I'd vote her out. It's okay. And then they vote her out and like blindside her, and it's awful. And it's like really terrible. And then like that's kind of all on Mason's like hands, like all the blood is on his hands, even if like Kitty was the main one, but because Mason wrote down his mm-hmm. sister's name, like...
It was the big betrayal.
Mm-hmm, the big betrayal. And I think Roderick is a, like, a social game champion and also strong as f***ing and great at puzzles. Like, is always the one who's, like, the puzzle caller and, like, is calm and cool and collected and has a nice resonant voice and no one's ever confused. Like, the other team is, like, running into f***ing and, you know, he's doing a great job when he's like calling puzzles and everyone is like blindfolded, you know what I mean? But for people who don't know what I mean, I think he makes it to like top six and, like kind of knows that it's his time and says something like, Jeff, I think it's me tonight. And everyone cries when he goes home, but he like, it like, aww. Like, yeah, like everyone loves having him around camp, but they're like, we can't have Roderick in the end. Like he's friends with everyone, that he's going to win. Like, we can't do that. We can't do that. So I think they have to get him out top six. And like, he has like an acceptance about it and just like mostly was very grateful to be a part of the game and to like make these long lasting friendships. And it like, everyone's gutted, like everyone's crying. Like Jeff is even like, I can't believe this is so terrible. I love you, Roderick. And then Jane, she's our ringer. I think she is a challenge beast. Like, seriously, like, anytime she is, like, I bet she is an amazing swimmer and is a very fast runner and is very good at puzzles. And, like, as soon as we, like, get to the merge, she is, like, winning individual immunities, like, mad. And also, I also think she would be so good at the interpersonal game and be on the right side of a lot of votes, but not in the way that people, like, think of her as the person who's running things, but I think she maybe mm-hmm. is the person who's running things. So, like, Mason, who has all this blood on his hands from voting his sister out, like, I think... like, he's way more of a threat than people think Jane is, even though Jane is, like, winning all these challenges and being the best. But I think it gets down to, I think maybe Mason wins that final individual immunity if it's, like, Mason, Kitty, and Jane. I think Mason wins mm-hmm. the final individual, and then the other two go to fire. And I think Jane wins fire, which I think ultimately gives her the win. And, like, Mason... people can't vote for him. They're so, like, Madison is so betrayed by him.
Yeah.
And I think is, like, really grilling him in Final Tribal. So I think Jane wins.
Shoot, I honestly, though, I thought Jane would win.
Yes,
when
well, yeah.
When you said that you had done the newbies and Survivor, I was like, and Jane Hayward is the sole survivor.
Exactly.
Got it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who's your favorite player of all time, would you say?
I love Parvati so much. Like,
heck yeah.
Like, she's who I first think of. But also, I love Debbie. So probably those two.
Debbie Wanner. Wainer. I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
I love her very much. I just think she's very funny. And when she like yells at, what's his bucket?
Brad Culpepper.
Like during a challenge. I aspire to be
when
that
when she
bold.
Gets all mad at Hallie, when she's like, we lost that challenge because of you, Hallie. And it does the flashback, and Debbie took like 7 minutes to walk across the beam. After she told everyone that she was a gymnast, and so like
she's
she
like,
could be on the balance beam, it'd be
she's
no
like,
problem.
Don't put the gymnast on the balance beam. And it's like, Debbie. And I think she is just such a beautiful character. Like, when I think mm-hmm. of her as a narrative character more than a person, the way that she is, like, God bless her, very delusional about at least what's happening in Survivor, in the way the producers love that. Like, they egg her on and, like, always are, like, proving her wrong with her edit. Like, it just makes me really happy to watch. I'm sure it's not happy to relive if I was Debbie, but I really love it.
I mean... speaking of delusional, she like talks about like all of her amazing jobs that she has. Yeah. And one of them is that she's some scientist. She fully got arrested because she was falsifying the like reports that she was making as the scientist. I'm pretty sure that happened post Survivor.
Oh, but yeah, that yeah. makes sense. Oh my so, god, like, that makes sense. She's really pretty delusional.
She's really living in Debbie's world.
Hey, Debbie's world's pretty fun. Also, I like Monica Culpepper from that season.
Mm-hmm. She's a neat lady.
Yeah. Have you guys ever met a neat lady?
Have you guys ever met, like, a neat lady? And the way that she says that with so much passion, she's, like, on the verge of tears. Yes. Haven't you ever met, like, a neat lady? I am obsessed.
Let's get an all-time neat lady moment. Tattooed on our knuckles.
Seriously, a neat lady.
Oh my god, Monica Culpepper, I love you very much. Oh. Anyway, that's my Survivor thoughts.
Watch Survivor, everyone. It's the best. It's the best reality TV show out there, in my opinion. But yeah. I do once again think it is the best constructed reality TV show on television. It is a great time.
Yeah. Nisha, thanks so much for this message. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we got to chat about Survivor for a little bit. Up next, we've got a message from Peter.
Hello, Ian, Lena, hi. I'm Peter, he, him, from California, and I am unfortunately a Gleek. I've been listening to your podcast since around November of 2022, and I'm here to say I absolutely love your sense of humor and the genuine care you put into discussing such a complicated subject as Glee. Sometimes while listening, I have to run to the other room to tell my mother about something funny you said about the Warper's crimes against humanity, or how strange it is an Ohio school has outdoor hallways and why nobody has died of hypothermia or something akin to that. And I also want to say, Warbler Nation has become a part of my everyday vocabulary. Love you always, Warbler Nation. I've been procrastinating sending an email for a while, but I thought these past couple of episodes would be the perfect opportunity to write in. I honestly really loved season 6 when I originally watched it. I enjoyed it in a campy, fun way. The way Glee originally was, but with less to lose with how batshit insane it allowed itself to be. Season 6 was like a reboot in the way it kept the satire format while allowing itself to try new things and get weird. But that's not what I'm here to discuss. No, no, no. I am here to discuss the Clane of it all. Add some exaggerated gasps for dramatic effect if you would like. I'd like to say, first of all, that I have been a fan of Clane since day one. Back in the day, I would defend them with my life against the haters. They have major issues, as does everyone on Glee, but that's what's charming about them to me. As a bisexual guy, seeing positive gay representation that also felt realistic in its struggles and imperfections meant a lot. Obviously, the struggles and imperfections were sometimes so outlandish it made me consider diving headfirst into a vat of acid, but I digress. Season 3 through 4 onwards of Clane, while aggravating at times, made for some pretty good TV and fun dynamics. I also enjoyed watching Blaine become an actual person outside of a boyfriend. Blaine is absolutely one of my favorite characters because of the great shift in his personality and mannerisms later on in the series, and I think it really shows in season 6. He's silly and fun, but sometimes whiny and annoying. He's less prominent in a way, only really bouncing off the other Glee clubs, and him working at Dalton brought back my favorite show choir rivals ever. Seeing Blaine being a gay person with flaws in a respectable position and fun role really speaks to me as a queer teenager. So basically, as a side note, if you only loved Blaine in season 2, you never loved Blaine at all. You loved the idea of him. I'm mostly joking, by the way. Love whatever you want. If Blaine Blanderson is your Glee boyfriend who you think the writers ruined, more power to you. Anywho, Kurt and Blaine getting back together was inevitable. They get back together in every timeline. And their arc of pining being set up by a Saw reference? Absolutely stunning. As both a Glee and horror fan, some may argue there is no difference, I was floored. Itty Bitty Sue, Billy the Puppet, Sylvester on a bike? Incredible. I found the Clane dynamic post-Saw elevator with a bathroom really funny and cute. The way they confronted Sue about it was adorable to me. Again, with the Blaine mannerisms? Absolutely golden. Kurt being the voice of reason? All great stuff. I definitely enjoy the constant swap of roles of Kurt and Blaine. Kurt being head over heels for Blaine in season 2, to a more equal ground in season 3, full 180 season 4 and 5, and back to Kurt pining for a bit of season 6. It keeps the dynamic fresh and alive, while also keeping them on equal footing. I am a sucker for pining to the fullest extent, and I'm so glad we're getting more story with them before impending doom. Or impending salvation. really depends on your perspective on what glee is to you. To wrap it up, because this email is getting long, I love you, Warbler Nation, and I thought Clayne should be, and I think Clayne should be in the next Saw movie. Peace and love, Peter, he, him. Well, Peter, we have really exciting news. We've been sitting on this for a while, waiting for the perfect time to announce it. We have gotten permission from Lionsgate Films to announce that Saw 10 is coming out in 2024, starring Clayne,
yeah.
Starring Kurt and Blaine. Get
wow.
Everyone, buy your tickets now. We're very, very excited about
yeah.
it. Thank you, Lionsgate, for this opportunity, for this cross-promotional moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an honor to have you as a sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to ride into the premiere on a little tricycle. In a tracksuit. Yeah. Oh my God. If I ever went to a Saw premiere, I would wear a tracksuit and I would come in on a tricycle. Cross
yeah,
promotional.
Be Sue Billy the Puppet Sylvester. Absolutely.
Yeah, literally. Someone emailed us about like the real name of it is Jig Sue and we didn't even realize.
Jig Sue.
So funny. Oh my goodness.
Well, Peter, I like this discussion of the Clayne of it all.
Yeah.
You make good points about the constant dynamic shift in Clayne, and that although this is a pairing that we constantly come back to in Glee, and so that can kind of get stale to like constantly coming back to the same pairing, they do keep it from getting more stale or keep it fresh in a way by having the power dynamics constantly shift
yeah.
on who is pining for who, who's in the position of power in the relationship. And I so agree with everything you said about Blaine. And I had forgotten because like seasons 1 through 3 are very prominent in my mind before this podcast. And then like mm-hmm. 4 through 6, kind of like.
Yeah, totally.
That I really remembered season 2 Blaine. And I was like, he's just boring.
Yeah.
And I so agree. He becomes a very interesting character, in my opinion, as the show goes on,
yeah.
as we allow to give him more flaws and flesh him out as a person beyond just like Kurt's dream boy,
yeah.
he becomes very interesting.
Honestly, I totally agree. I think to me, the more we learn about Blaine, the more I really like relate to this person. Like every mm-hmm. like everything he likes to do, I'm like, oh my God, like the Star Wars fan fiction and the carbonated water. I'm like, this guy is so weird. I love him.
Yeah, I
totally agree.
Blaney days.
Blaney days. The best.
Well,
Peter, Warbler Nation, rise up.
Warbler Nation, rise up. Thank you for this email. Thank mm-hmm. you, everyone, for your emails this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you on Wednesday for What the World Needs Now. Guest starring? Some special guests who are making a return to the podcast. Talk about Burt Bacharach.
We'll see.
If you got thoughts on that episode, send them to us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
You want to play the relative pitch game?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
We got My Sharona by The Knack. You Spin Me Around Like a Record by Dead or Alive. It Must Have Been Love by Roxette. Father Figure by George Michael. All Out of Love by Air Supply.
You're making me sound like Air Supply.
Who had the Glax?
I had the Glax for the next episode. Yes.
Yeah. I did the Glax
so
for this.
It.
So am I first?
Yeah.
Great.
You are first. And I want you to sing It Must Have Been Love.
Must have been love, but it's over now. Must have been good, but I lost it somehow. Must have been love, but it's over now. I honestly don't know how this last line goes.
That's my favorite part of the whole song.
The last line from the moment we touched till the time had run out?
The part that you just sang.
Oh.
When they sing it different.
Now.
That, I go,
yeah.
Every time.
Okay, so my Must Have Been Love was F, G, A flat, B flat, I believe. Is this what the girl sings in Pitch Perfect that gets her disqualified from the riff off during the Madonna section?
I don't
from
remember.
The high notes, the girl in the high notes. I always think that, I think it's supposed to, it's this song. She walks out and she goes, must have been love, but it's over now, but it's over right now. And the guy goes, ladies and gentlemen, the side effects of medical marijuana, you are cut off. I think it's supposed to be this song. Unless there's a Madonna song that has "It Must Have Been Love" in it somewhere.
No, I don't know.
Anyways, what? Let's find out if I'm right. Okay, I'm a full step flat.
They sang.
I'm a full step flat. Darn it! Oh well. You're gonna do "Father Figure."
Yes. Best day ever. That's all I wanted. Something special, something sacred in your eyes. For just one moment to be bold and naked at your side.
That's all I wanted. Was C sharp to B to A? I can already tell you're half step flat. I'm so sorry.
I got it in the bag.
Yeah, you're flat. You did not have it in the bag. Yeah. I said you're half step flat.
I totally thought I had it in the bag.
I'm so sorry.
Whoa. A devastating blow.
That's Hurt Locker Part 2, baby. See you on Wednesday. Have a great 2 days until then.
Mm-hmm. See you at the premiere of Saw 10.
I see you at the premiere of Saw 10.
Uh-huh.
Saw 10. And remember this moment where we announced Saw 10.
Remember this moment.
Remember this moment.
Remember this moment.
All right. Love you. Spread some mini glee.
Love you. See you later. Have a good day, you all. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.